The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting or encouraging one another, and so much more the so as you see the day approaching. On Sunday, June the 28th, I preached about the Father's house, and I preached about the governing principle that we are to love one another as Christ has loved us. And this love is expressed through the various one another principles and commands found throughout the New Testament. So last Wednesday, Brother DJ Hill taught us about serving one another as Christ has served us. And tonight I want to continue in that theme and talk to us about the power of encouraging one another. Would you just say that? If you're alone, you can speak it out loud, but if you're gathered with family or friends, would you say that? Encouraging one another. Amen. I can hear you from here in the Spirit. Praise God. I've been blessed, or I was blessed, to be raised by parents who understood the power of a word of encouragement. They knew how to speak encouragement at just the right time. When I was frustrated and ready to quit, when I was intimidated by a new challenge, or when I felt overwhelmed by my circumstances, their loving word of encouragement would inspire and comfort and assure me right when I needed it most. But on the other hand, as a fledgling trumpet player, and those who know me now can probably never believe that I actually took trumpet for several years. But as that fledgling trumpet player, I vividly remember the crushing blow that day sitting in that room when my teacher's foolish words discouraged me so much that I ended up quitting and not playing the trumpet again. What about you? Can you remember a time when a word of encouragement made a difference for you? Can you remember a time when a word of discouragement or an act that was discouraging dealt you a blow and caused you to have a difficult time to struggle through? Julie Exline wrote in an article on psychologytoday.com that what an amazing gift we offer to others through encouragement. When we encourage, it's as though we actually infuse courage into another person. Encouragement can provide people with strength to look ahead, to move forward, and to reach for the next goal. The whole emotional tone of a tough situation can be transformed through encouragement. Somehow things seem brighter. And I hope that you have experienced that in your life and routinely experience it even today. We see the power of encouragement throughout the Bible. But I want to focus your attention tonight on the book of Hebrews, where some of the early Jewish Christians were struggling in their faith in Jesus Christ. They were in danger of succumbing to real peer pressure to go back, to revert back to temple Judaism and Old Testament sacrifices of animals. And so the writer of Hebrews seeks to strengthen their faith. He explains the superiority and finality of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we join his sermon in chapter 10. In verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Based on this new and living way, the writer calls these Christians to reaffirm and refresh the foundational elements of their saving relationship with Jesus Christ. These foundational elements are expressed in the familiar triad pattern of the New Testament: faith, hope, and love. And so in Hebrews 10 and 21, he continues, "And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." The writer further clarifies this assurance of faith in the next chapter, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Having called them to fully trust in Christ alone, the writer continues in Hebrews 10 and 23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." What hope, you might ask? What hope is he speaking to? It is the hope of eternal salvation through Jesus Christ and the promise that we will spend forever with him in a place prepared for us, the Father's house. It is a hope that the writer had earlier described this way in chapter 6, verse 19. "This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary." Faith, hope, but that wasn't all, because faith and hope have to be lived out. And so he continues, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting or encouraging one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Our relationship with Jesus Christ is not just a theoretical profession. As disciples, we must practice what we profess. Our attitudes and our actions must back up and give evidence to what we say that we believe. You see, genuine faith is evidenced by us drawing near to God and obeying his word. Genuine hope is confirmed by our unwavering loyalty to Jesus Christ and our relationship with him. Likewise, genuine love is expressed through acts of love, as Jesus has loved us. So let's look again at verse 23, or verse 24 and verse 25. This time, though, reading from the New Living Translation. "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the days of his return is drawing near." You and I are more apt to courageously stand strong in the faith. You and I are more apt to stand strong in our confession and our hope of Jesus Christ if we will encourage one another through love. Remember that piercing clarity of Jesus' final conversation with his disciples when he said in John 13 and 34, "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, so you should love each other." Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. The writer of Hebrews challenged those early disciples in the first century, and he challenged you and I in the 21st century. We are to vigorously promote love and good works by loving and serving each other as Christ loved and served us. And one of the chief ways that I express my love. And one of the chief ways that I can serve you as a brother or sister in Christ is by words and acts of encouragement. To be an encourager is how I can love you and serve you. In fact, it is this idea, this truth, is how we should understand the command to not abandon the regular gathering of believers. You've probably heard that verse quoted before and applied, hopefully very appropriately. But you see, our faith and hope in Jesus Christ is not meant to be experienced alone. There is mutual strength when we encourage each other, and we have to gather together in order to do that. Right now, it may be gathering online. It may be virtually encouraging one another, but do not downplay or minimize the power of a word or an act of encouragement to a brother or sister in Christ. This is why isolating yourself from other believers is a catastrophic failure to understand and appreciate the significance of the death of Jesus Christ. To intentionally isolate yourself from the body of Christ, it is a stark warning sign of an impending spiritual disaster and a crisis in your life. I need you, and you need me. None of us, no one under the sound of my voice or who will ever hear this message, none of us are immune from insecurities. None of us are immune from doubts and struggles and disappointments. All of us have to battle through discouragement and face setbacks and overwhelming circumstances. Nobody is immune from life. And that is why we are not called to do life alone, but we are a part of the dynamic and diverse body of Christ where we are loved and where we are valued. We belong to a community of faith that should resonate with mutual encouragement. I need you, and you need me. And so again, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. None of us are exempt from needing encouragement, and none of us are exempt from needing to give encouragement to fellow believers. We see this principle again in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonian Christians who were relative brand new believers. Paul had been forced to abruptly leave Thessalonica, and now these young Christians were being persecuted. So in his letter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2, Paul reminds them that we sent Timothy to visit you. He's our brother, God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. This is why I sent Timothy, Paul said, or we sent Timothy, to strengthen you and to encourage you in your faith and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through. I've sent Timothy, and he's doing the work in my stead to strengthen you, to encourage you, and to keep you from being shaken in the troubles that you face. These new believers were not only troubled by persecution, but they were genuinely being distraught or had become distraught over the idea about those who had died before the Lord's return. And so we get Paul's great words in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 15 when he said, "We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then we will be with the Lord forever. But we shouldn't stop reading there, because here the purpose of Paul's words in verse 18. So encourage each other with these words. Looking towards heaven and walking with the hope of the Father's house. It's not about you and your four and no more. We look with eager expectation that the Lord is coming back soon. But in that confidence and in that hope, we are to encourage one another. We are to stand beside one another. We are to love one another and serve one another. You can make it. You're going to make it, brother. You're going to make it, sister. I believe in you. You're doing a great work. God's got a purpose for your life. A word of encouragement. Paul wasn't done. In his letter a little later in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 8, he writes, "But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence or the hope of our salvation." There it is again, faith, hope, and love. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. And we can rejoice in that knowledge. Amen. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. Here's that command again. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. It sounds a lot like Hebrews, faith, hope, and love. You see where our love is evidenced by our acts of encouragement, that we're building one another up, that we're speaking a word of confidence, that we're speaking a compliment to a brother or a sister, and we're encouraging them that we're going to make it and you are a part of a great thing. I pray in all of our lives, in this season and every day forward, that we would not forget nor fail to consistently encourage one another, and even more so as the Lord's return draws near. God's people, they had rebelled against him, and they had rebelled against the word of God. And as a result of their disobedience and their forsaking their covenant with God, the Midianites controlled and routinely invaded the land of Israel, and they had done so for 7 years. The devastation was undeniable as Israelites struggled to merely survive, hiding out in caves as innumerable swarms of Midianite raiders would plunder and pillage their crops, their herds. And so it's no surprise that we find Gideon secretly threshing a meager portion of wheat camouflaged by a wine press. And yet, in this dire situation, an angel suddenly shows up with a word from the Lord. Judges chapter 6 and verse 12. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero." The New King James Version says, "You mighty man of valor. The Lord is with you." It wasn't an instant transformation. Gideon was overwhelmed by his surrounding conditions. Gideon wrestled with insecurities and self-doubt. Gideon battled fear and unbelief. But the power of one prophetic word of encouragement was enough to propel Gideon to accept and pursue God's call on his life. I'm not making light of the journey. God had to keep graciously affirming his word. We get the expression fleecing God from Gideon when he put out a fleece of wool and basically demanded God that leave the fleece dry and the ground wet. And then that wasn't enough, so leave the fleece wet and the ground dry. And it was a process for Gideon. But Gideon, based on that word of encouragement, kept moving forward. His faith kept growing and his influence kept expanding. He moved from tearing down altars of pagan idols in the middle of the night to boldly summoning an army to take on the Midian invaders. The bad news is that when he made that bold step of faith, only 32,000 men showed up to face an innumerable host. If that wasn't discouraging enough, God intervened and sent 31,700 of them home. Gideon was probably scared. He was a little timid, and he was definitely discouraged. And I have no doubt that those familiar voices of self-doubt were screaming at a fever pitch in his head. But then God intervened again, and he commanded Gideon to sneak down to the Midianites' camp to hear what his enemies had to say. And in Judges chapter 7 and verse 13, the Bible says, Gideon crept up just as a man was telling his companion about a dream. The man said, I had this dream, and in my dream, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat. His companion answered, your dream can only mean one thing. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite, victory over Midian and all its allies. Encouraged again, Gideon worshiped God. His faith soared. His hope stood steadfast. And with nothing more than trumpets, clay pots, and a torch, Gideon and his 300 men audaciously surrounded the enemy's camp. And God miraculously executed a great deliverance of his people that day. Please hear the word of the Lord tonight. One word, one act of encouragement can make an eternal difference in the life of a disciple of Jesus Christ. But God forbid that he have to send an angel or he have to use a pagan's dream to encourage a brother or a sister in Christ. I say not in my home. I say not in my family. I say not in my church. God help us and God help me to be an agent of divine encouragement. I don't want to be one who causes division. I don't want to be one who has to climb up by tearing down. I don't want to rev up my intellectual horsepower by intimidating, mocking, or arguing with a brother or sister. You see, that may be cute online, and you may feel like you won the argument, and you proved your point, and see, you made your brother and sister look like a fool, and you went to bed so confident about how smart you were. But what you call debate, God may call discord. And God hates the person who sows discord. So not in our house, not in our families. We want to be encouragers to say, I believe in you, brother. I believe in you, sister. We're going to do this together. We may have different preferences. We may come from different points of view, but I believe in you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to encourage you. Let's do this together. Amen. Sometimes we offer encouragement in a boisterous way. It's lavish praise. It's a bear hug. It's hearty applause. But sometimes we offer encouragement in a quiet and subtle manner. It's a soft smile. It's a kind word. It's a private text or email. But regardless of the form of encouragement, it carries life-giving potential. Don't hoard encouragement in your life. It is life-giving. It's that needed strength to forget the past and reach into the future of God's holy purpose that somebody needs. It's to help someone with the transformation of a tough emotional situation that they've got to go through, but a word of encouragement strengthens them and causes them to move forward. It's a word that brings eternal hope, that inspires joy in spite of the circumstance. It's a word or an act of encouragement that gives courage to stand strong in faith, hope, and love that is found in Jesus Christ. One word, one act of encouragement can make an eternal difference for you and for me. It's the power of encouraging one another. I need you, and you need me. So why don't we commit to set aside the differences, to look beyond the diversity of preferences, to look beyond the differences in points of view, political philosophies, one's ideas about the current pandemic and how we should respond. Could we move beyond looking like the world by arguing and debating? Could we move beyond isolating ourselves because we don't like their opinion or what they're doing? And could we arise in the love and hope of Jesus Christ and say, I choose to be an encourager. I'm in the Father's house, and He's called me to love you as He's loved me. And based on that standard, nothing's too much. So I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to encourage you. I might do it out loud, I might do it quietly, but I believe in you. You matter, you're valued, you're making a difference, you're going to make it. God is for you, He's not against you. The power, the life-giving power of a word of encouragement. Would you join me in prayer wherever you're at right now? Lord, I thank you for your word, and I feel the affirmation of the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, you would deliver us from the deception, God, of the quarreling and the polarization of our culture. I pray you would deliver us, God, from the lies that would lure us into the maze that never ends, God, of chasing our identity apart from you. I pray, Lord, instead that your word would establish us, that God, our faith would be assured, that we would stand strong in the full assurance of our faith, that we would be unwavering in the confession of our hope, and that, Lord, we would care and consider one another, to God, to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, that we would not isolate, but we would be connected, Lord, in whatever way is possible to encourage one another, because the day of your return is drawing near. Lord, I ask and I pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ. God, let your word inspire us. Let your word, God, arrest our hearts. Let your word, God, illuminate our minds with an awareness of those who are with us in the body of Christ. Let us not hold back that word of affirmation. Let us not, God, withdraw from that act of encouragement, but let us speak words of life. Let us speak words of hope. Let us speak words of kindness. It may be short and quiet and small and private. It might be loud and boisterous, but God, one word of encouragement, if it can save a brother, if it can save a sister, if it can anchor them in truth, if it can make a difference of eternity, then God, let us be agents of encouragement. I pray it. I pray it in Jesus' name. I pray a flood tide of love and service and encouragement, God, would erupt in this congregation. I pray for this body of saints of God that I am a part of. I pray, Lord God, even tonight and throughout the days ahead, through this weekend, there, God, would be an eruption, a mighty, mighty eruption, Lord God, of God, boundless love and acts of encouragement and words of affirmation that flood through this body, this congregation, with life-giving power. I pray it in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray over God, your people, that the Lord would bless you and keep you. I pray the Lord would make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. I pray the Lord would lift up his countenance upon you. And I pray the Lord will give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.